At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ryan Seacrest here, so every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two of D-Mace, Bingen, and Donick coming at you here on 102.5 The Game. Glad to be with you once again here on this Friday afternoon. Hour number two of the show coming your way. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Connor Newt here with you this afternoon. Adam Bingen on vacation, and he'll be back with us again next week. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with the Buzz is always about great service. So we set the table for this. We've talked about the Jared Curtis story that goes back to last year, where about two-thirds of the way through the season, you started hearing about Jared Curtis perhaps decommitting from Georgia and going to Vanderbilt, as Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt were becoming a big story on College Game Day. Nate Bargatze, while this rumor was going on, they couldn't really mention any names, but Nate Bargatze was talking about, hey, do you want to be in a movie? Well, that's come to fruition. He's on the campus, and he's in a movie with Nate Bargatze, but he's still very young. He's going to be a true freshman, and he hasn't taken a college snap in a game yet, even though he's been on campus all semester and working his way towards, hopefully, a productive college career. Meanwhile, the University of Tennessee has a pair of freshman quarterbacks, a true freshman, Faison Brandon, and redshirt freshman from Nashville, Brentwood Academy, George McIntyre. So both Vanderbilt and Tennessee are likely to have freshman quarterbacks playing. And we know in today's SEC, today's college football, it has been proven over the last 3 or 4 years especially that older players, experienced players, tend to do way, way better. I think that's always been the case. But, Derek, I would throw it this way. It seems like it's been even more exaggerated. It's harder and harder because players are a little bit older by age, and also the constant moving up and moving down. The better players move up. So the upperclassmen tend to be better than they were 5 or 10 years ago, because a lot of them have moved up. They're getting paid to move up. They're coming out of programs at a lower level. And so the overall level of play is tough. That makes it tough for college freshmen, especially in a position like quarterback, to excel. So do you agree with that theory, first off?
Yes. I mean, you know, coming in as a young quarterback, especially now, even though things have gotten better as far as, you know, how advanced these young men are, because, listen, as you know, Willie, we didn't have all these camps that you can go to and all these analytics and all the stuff that made you better. We didn't have all that. We just went in the backyard or went on the playground or went in the gym and we worked on our stuff. So we didn't have all these metrics that these kids have now. But even with that, I think when you put a younger quarterback underneath center, you're going to have your growing pains. You look at what Texas did with Manny. They allowed him to sit and learn what was going on before thrusting him, even though many people wanted him, you know, over yours. People wanted him to be the starter. But Sarkisian said no. He was going to let the young man sit, and I guess his family felt the same way. And now I think he's benefiting from that. We've seen other places where, you know, freshman quarterbacks had to go in and take their lumps when they shouldn't have. I think that's why UT over the last 3 or 4 years, Vandy the last 2 years there in particular, they've been successful. Why? Because they've had veteran quarterbacks underneath center in both instances. Guys that have played in other places, guys that have put in the hours. Then you get them at a little bit older age, and then they either they're continuing to develop or they develop enough where now you have a real shot at, you know, winning an SEC title, winning a national title, or frankly just having a really good season. And we saw it sort of bear out with UT when they had their older quarterbacks, and obviously here in here with Vanderbilt with Diego the last 2 years. So having a young quarterback, I think in these two situations, it's going to be an uphill climb for both guys, I think, because of the way, you know, college sports is ran now. A lot of these teams are much older, and a lot of these quarterbacks are much older. So when you're taking a freshman quarterback and you're putting him out there against a Power 5 team that has a older quarterback, if your team isn't stacked almost, you're going to take your lumps.
I think that is definitely something to watch. I think that's – it's just logical. You're just not going to have a full grasp of the game from not only the speed and the strength of the players you're playing against, but also the grasp of reading the field as the quarterback. So I definitely think that's going to be a factor. The question is, how much can you win in the meantime? As Chad Withrow pointed out in our first hour, he said, you know, for Vanderbilt, It was such a clear-cut thing that when you have an opportunity that you've never had before in the program to get that high of a recruit, then it makes sense to just take the lumps and play him through it. And hopefully on the other side, as he gets more experience, you'll see the benefits, even though there might be some short-term setbacks. Tennessee is in a little bit of a different situation where I think – now, you tell me if you disagree – Derek, that you know, I think there's pressure on Josh Heupel to win, get to the playoffs, and can he do it with not one but two freshman quarterbacks who may well be competing for the job in the early part of the season? You mentioned Arch Manning, who they decided early on. They already had Quinn Ewers. That was fairly easy. So he sat. A guy as talented as him, as highly recruited as he was, he sat. His dad, Peyton Manning, way back when he was a freshman, they were going to sit him, but they had on that roster, this is how times have changed, where because people didn't transfer freely, they had the following quarterbacks on their roster. Jerry Colquitt, who was the guy who was patiently waiting to start. He was sitting behind Heath Shuler for 3 years. This was going to be his chance to play. They had him. You had Peyton Manning. And you had a guy named Brandon Stewart, who was another highly touted true freshman. And on top of that, you had Todd Helton, who was a two-sport guy who was in the Baseball Hall of Fame, ended up being a great baseball player. But he was on the team and a great athlete, ended up starting a couple games. So they had a very crowded thing. But what ended up happening is Colquitt got hurt in the first game. And for a couple of weeks there, Peyton Manning and Brandon Stewart were sort of battling out, playing in the same games. Helton got mixed in. Eventually, as we know, Peyton Manning emerged as the best player, and he went on to the career he had. But they lost a game or two early in the season while they tried to sort all of this out. So I'm wondering how that's going to play out this year with maybe as they try to figure out which freshman quarterback is the man.
Yeah, that's going to, you know, be the, you know, that's the big question, obviously, in Knoxville. That's why I think, you know, if Aguilar would have gotten, you know, that year back that he was petitioning for, obviously Heupel would have loved that. But instead, he has to field either, you know, a true freshman or a guy, I think in his, what, second year, that hasn't taken many snaps. So they're going to be dealing with that. Now, how good is the team around them? That's going to be, you know, the issue. And at this point, I don't know how good UT is around their, you know, whether it be a freshman quarterback or their second-year guy. Same thing with Vandy. You know, how good are they going to be, you know, around say if Jared Curtis does win the job. How good are they going to be around them? Well, we've seen what they've done as far as addressing the offensive line. They did that, and I think that's the first step into ensuring that, you know, hopefully your quarterback, if as long as he's protected, he can read the field. And then the guys around them, they've lost some guys due to the draft, and then some guys have transferred out, but they also brought in some guys. So how quickly can those guys around, you know, the young quarterback, if he does end up winning a starting job, how good are they going to be early on as this young man starts to learn the offense?
Yeah, early on is a really good question because you figure that they'll get better the longer they play. Let me bring Connor into the discussion. So, Connor, to me, expectations are a part of this equation too. If Vanderbilt were to play Curtis as a true freshman, and let's say they win 7 games, maybe 8, 7-5, 8-4, that's still relative to Vanderbilt history, a really solid season. And I think any Vanderbilt fan would say, hey, it's not 10 wins, but that's a good season. And you got Jared Curtis playing. He's only going to get better. For Tennessee, if you go 7-5 or 8-4, I don't know if that, hey, you're playing a freshman quarterback is going to fly.
Yeah, it's funny because I talked about this with Jake Lyman this morning. It feels like the programs are trending sort of in two different directions. And that's not saying that one team is going to be significantly better than the other. But for Vanderbilt, it's growing off of momentum. You just had arguably the best season in your entire program's history last year with a 10-2 season. So it's about momentum. It's about establishing a national brand, and I think they're doing a good job of that. However, I don't think it's entirely fair to expect the same result this season, especially with a true freshman quarterback coming in. I know Jared Curtis is a topic of conversation, and he's exciting, and Vanderbilt fans have never experienced a prospect like this magnitude, but let's keep in mind that Michigan did the same thing last year with Bryce Underwood as a true freshman quarterback, and he was fine. He was solid, but he didn't light the world on fire as the number one quarterback prospect. And I think the same could be said for Tennessee. Faizeon Brandon, George McIntyre, whoever comes into the fold there, they're going to be solid, and I think they're going to have weapons and good offensive line play around them. But I don't think it's fair to expect, you know, a Heisman caliber season out of a true freshman quarterback. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's that fair to expect, oh, well, he's going to set records the moment he steps foot on campus.
I think you brought up something interesting, Connor. And like you put it, these two teams or these two programs seem to be like going in opposite directions. It's one that seems to be ascending. And again, like you said, it's not like Tennessee, I don't believe they're going to have a bad season. I think they're going to continue, you know, their winning ways. A lot of it is going to hinge on whether the quarterback, whichever one it is up to speed. Is their defense, you know, like it was last year or even better? But from a national standpoint, UT has their brand. It's going to last. It's going to go in perpetuity. That's their brand. But it doesn't seem like their brand is advancing, at least not from a football angle, is advancing at this point as fast as Vandy. Not to say that Vandy has caught up with them, because they haven't. They haven't. That's the honest. But if you're talking about movement and relevancy, it seems like Vandy has been the team that has been more talked about because of Diego, because of the excitement of the last two seasons, a little bit more than what UT has been talked about outside of their quarterback issues.
Yeah,
let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHuntDay.com and talk to Lance. Lance, welcome into DVD.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Lance.
Hey, Lance.
Yes, sir. I want to weigh in. First of all, I never even knew who Bargaski was until last year. I think when game day came to Nashville, and he said that Curtis could be in a movie, so I had to reach out to my daughter. I said, "Who is this guy?" You know, right? So that's how far out of touch I am. As far as Vandy goes, I'm 60 years old. I have never anticipated or wanted a football season to start. I look forward to it. I mean, we always look forward to basketball, but you know, those days were past. You know, I'm talking back in the 90s and 20s or whatever. And then we always had baseball, right? But now I'm looking at football, and if Jared Curtis, he can show his name around and spread the brand of Vanderbilt. More power to him. Mm-hmm. More power to the Dr. Candace Lee is the accolades should go to. I mean, this woman has brought Vanderbilt out of the damn cesspool, excuse my French, into hey, we're going to spend some money. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're right about that. No, you're absolutely right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm over here smiling because, you know, this is a man that's explaining, you know, he's 60 years old. He's been a Vanderbilt fan for the longest. He's always, you know, was, you know, excited about the basketball season, the baseball season, obviously. But now he just can't wait for the football season to come around. How many times in the past have you heard that about the Vanderbilt program? And he's right. A lot, you know, listen, Clark Lee has done a great job on the field with recruiting. That his whole, the whole mechanism he has working really well. But Candace Lee, she's the one that, you know, helped infuse all of this. She's the one that sort of oversaw a lot of this. And he's right. And she has. She's gotten, you know, as many accolades and thank yous and everything else. Each time she comes on this show, we always talk about how great of a job, you know, she does. I was just talking with Shane this morning, and he talked about how great Candace Lee is doing. So the caller's right. It's not just Vandy. Candace Lee is doing a wonderful job, but just to hear him talk about how excited he is for the Vanderbilt season to start football-wise, that brought a smile on my face.
No question. All right, let's stop there. I want to get more feedback from some of you on our phone and text line. Who do you think's in better shape? What do you expect with both Vanderbilt and Tennessee playing with freshman quarterbacks, even though we know that there's a chance that Curtis doesn't start from day one, but we know somewhere very soon he is the guy that a lot is riding on, but he's very, very young. He was on the Pat McAfee show today with Nate Bargatze. Tennessee's got two freshman quarterbacks vying for the job. Work in the expectations for each program to the equation and tell us what you think. Who's in better shape to start a freshman quarterback, Vanderbilt or Tennessee? 615-737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of DVD. DVD continues here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Connor New. We'll be joined by Mitch Light to add to this discussion, along with some other college sports topics, at 4:45. And then we've got some heavy Titans discussion on Cam Ward coming up during our 5 o'clock hour as we count down to the weekend here. And it is a fun weekend with the Memorial Day weekend coming up. So let's get to our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We asked the question with both teams, Vanderbilt and Tennessee, likely to be playing the bulk of the games, if it goes the way they are looking forward to, freshman quarterbacks. It's harder to win with a freshman quarterback, especially when big in college football now, probably harder than ever with NIL and older players. That seems to be the trend. So who's in better shape, Tennessee or Vanderbilt? Robert in Nashville texts in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He says, freshman quarterbacks? Both teams are screwed. So, okay. Robert raining on the parade.
Yeah, but I don't think necessarily. Obviously, you know, UT has, whether through, you know, recruiting or through the portal, they have, you know, in their minds, upgraded their team. Now, how much upgrade is it going to be? Only the season will tell. And then, obviously, you look at Vanderbilt and what they did with their transfer portal, because that's a lot of it nowadays, I believe. And tell me if you think this way, Willie and Connor, is that I don't think when you start grading teams, I think there's going to be more of an emphasis when you're looking at teams and how their recruiting class is. There's going to be more emphasis put toward the transfer portal. Not necessarily, hey, you got the number one freshman recruiting class around. Yeah, but it's going to take a lot of those guys time to get on the field. Whereas if you look at the transfer portal recruiting class, it may be a lot of different. Why? Because you have guys that have played this game, majority of them, that have been starters, that are coming for programs. They may have had a lot of success in just coming to Vanderbilt because they can end their career in Vandy. They're getting paid a little bit more here at Vandy, and there's a place for them to come and start immediately. So I think it's going to be more now the transfer portal. How does your transfer portal look compared to other teams? Not necessarily how does your recruiting class, meaning your freshman, incoming freshman, look?
It's a great point. I think Vanderbilt football has had enormous success with that. Basketball certainly had success. And it's interesting you mentioned that, D-Mace, because one of my questions for Mitch when we bring him on is, why has Vanderbilt baseball not done as well in the transfer portal? And so we'll get his thoughts on that. But you're right. And for example, a transfer they have, he hasn't really played a whole lot because Diego Pavia has stolen the show. But Blaze Berlewitz, who is, I don't know, at least four years older than Jared Curtis, a lot of Vanderbilt fans, a couple have texted in on our text line to say, you know, right now Berlewitz is better. Well, he should be better. He's, 22, maybe 23 years old by now, and Jared Curtis just got to the campus. So if you're not better than Curtis now, you're never going to be. So that's a good thing for Berlewitz. It's a good thing for Vanderbilt. But at the same time, you would expect Jared Curtis to close the gap pretty quickly. Meanwhile, Tennessee's, their top two guys are both freshmen. So that is going to be the question for Josh Heupel, is who's ready to win right away, because you don't have time. Like, they have an early season game against Georgia Tech, I know. That'll be a test, and they'll have to get through that game, and hopefully one or both of those guys will emerge and continue to get better. That's what you hope for by playing the freshman. Because as you said, Derek, a lot of people transfer in. They're older. They've already played 30, 40, in some cases, college football games. You know, and so that gives you a leg up when you're bringing newcomers in there. 615-737-1025. I believe we've got Mark on the line. Is that right, Connor?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's bring Mark into the discussion here. Mark, welcome into the DVD.
Hey, what's up, Phil? Connor, you should have told Will and D-Mace I was on the line, man. We could have interrupted all this other stuff and brought me on in. You know I'm important, so help me out here, Connor. And Willie, the new name of that show is
DVD. See, I see what you're doing, Mark. You're trying to get the young rookie, Connor's in the seat now. You're trying to get him to give you preferential treatment.
That's right. Because, see, I'm in the transfer portal. Hey, D-Mace, I'm here to make you smile. I'm in the transfer portal. Yeah, I'm in the transfer portal, Willie. And Willie, I got something to go over with you before I finish saying what I'm saying.
I hate to tell you this, Mark. Our budget for transfers at NIL is pretty limited.
Yeah, very limited.
D-Mace is paying out of pocket.
And you know that.
Okay, well, I know D-Mace. Come on now, man. Both y'all.
I love you, Mark.
Help a man. I know I love you too, man. Hey, I'll gladly text you my routing and account.
He's going to pay you in love. He's just not going to pay you in cash.
Yeah, I know. But hey, you know, man, y'all were talking. I'm gonna say a couple of things real quick. Willie, you know, you and D-Mace been talking about the transfer portal and the quarterbacks and Tennessee and Vanderbilt having freshmen. Well, you know, if you think back, Josh Heupel, he tried to get Sam Leavitt from Arizona State because he was the number one quarterback out here, and they didn't give him enough money, so LSU got him. So, you know, Diego Pavia, he set the tone for Vanderbilt. You know, a big-time winner, big-time quarterback, elite athlete. You know, Vanderbilt, I'm sure they tried to find somebody in the portal, just probably couldn't get it. But like you and D-May said, the portal is taking over. It doesn't matter if you got the number one recruiting class anymore. If you got guys that's got 20, 30 games under their belt, them the guys that's going to come in, they're going to get paid, especially with the quarterback. If there's some quarterbacks out there getting – there's a veteran type guys, they're getting $5-6 million from a lot of these places. So I see why a lot of this is going on and stuff, because it's a win now situation in college football. They don't give you time. It's turning into the NFL. It's not for long. I mean, you better come in and produce and do your thing. But Willie, before I go, I got two things I want to tell you. Don't forget about me, Willie. We talked about this when you started making them picks this year. I need to be on that show with y'all. Think about me, Willie. Hope, you know, I really need you, Commish, to do that for me. And two, Willie, we got a big putt-putt tournament happening here in about 3 weeks. You and D Mason and Connor, and y'all are all invited to it, man.
Well, thank you.
$50 fee to get in. Already 25 people coming. It's putt-putt golf. I'm working out with my swing coach, Edgar Lane, and I got my mental health coach, Boudreaux Brown, helping me out and stuff. So I'm gonna be ready. I'm a three-time major champion, Willie. I have got three of those Bobby Knight type jackets in my closet, man. So I'm the club pro over there. So
as long as Tiger Woods not driving you there, you'll be all right.
Yeah, that's right, man. I didn't say Butch Harmon. I said Edgar Lane. That's putting coach. But, hey, man, y'all have a good day. Hey, Adam, take your time coming back now. I'm going to call every day, so take your time coming back. Hey, y'all have a good weekend, man.
All right, you're doing fine, Mark.
Yep. See, mate. Uh-huh. See y'all, man.
Now he wants us to prepare for a putt-putt tournament.
Exactly, man. Goodness, man. Mark is a man of the people.
I think he just needs to be my manager at this point.
Yeah, man, he could take you places, man. He could take you places. But, yeah, Willie, as we, you know, I think a lot of this, whether it's UT or it's Vandy, a lot of this is going to be hinging on how can they position their quarterback or how can they position their roster to help out or aid their young quarterback, whether it's,
yes,
it's UT doing it with theirs or Vandy doing it with Curtis. What team are they building around them?
Yes. Can they make the job easier and support the quarterback so not everything's on that kid's shoulders? That's a good point. All right, let's leave it there for now, and we will catch up with Mitch Light. We'll get his thoughts on this, and we'll bounce around. There was some interesting news that came out, or a brief report, on Tyler Tanner and what some of the pro scouts think about him. All Vanderbilt fans are waiting to see if he's coming back to play for the Commodores for a third year. Also, Mitch is going to have some thoughts on the transfer portal on the college baseball front, particularly with Vanderbilt probably not going to make the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2005. So we'll hit him on that. So we've got a lot to discuss. So keep it right here on DVD, and then we'll get heavy into the Cam Ward and the OTAs during our 5 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game. We continue on DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, along with Derek Mason and Connor Newt. Adam Dingett is on vacation this weekend. We go to our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are about to be joined by Mitch Light. Let me see if I got this right. I'm remote today up at Denison University at Shorney Hall in the dormitory because I am super fan dad watching my son in the Super Regionals this weekend. As Denison tries to get back to the Division III College World Series. So is Mitch Light on the line?
I'm here, Willie.
He is.
Got him.
All right. This is excellent news.
You just a technical whiz, Willie. I'm very impressed.
What's that?
I said you're a technical whiz getting me on. I'm very impressed with you.
Technical whiz. Yes, always have been. I learned it when I was in the Branscombe dorm way back in the day. You were not before. Were you a Branscombe guy, Mitch, or were you a different dorm at Vanderbilt?
Tolman Hall, unair-conditioned, the last unair-conditioned dorm at Vanderbilt. Some of the hottest months of my life. I have PTSD.
I'm sure that was
that
very pleasant coming down south from New Jersey, going to high school here. But speaking of Vanderbilt,
so before we get started, I talked to Connor there. His dad, Rick, used to umpire a lot of the games. I coached with Gabe over at BSAA, and I'm kind of wishing we had the ABS challenge system back then. I think Gabe might have had a few more quality at bats, but you know, you had to deal with what you had to deal with.
No rebuttal, Connor?
No, I mean, Gabe and I played with and against each other, but yeah, I think Rick Newt could use the ABS in his life, is all I'll say.
It's there to help the umpires. It's not there to embarrass the umpires. It's there to help the umpires. And we do know this. I did watch Gabe enough to know he did know the strike zone. He was not afraid to be a patient hitter.
That was one of his strengths, yeah. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. So, but, yeah, good luck to the Denison Big Red, too, Willie.
Well, yeah, one win away from the College World Series. Let's see what happens. But, Mitch, let me ask you what we've been kicking around during this hour, and that is in this day and age of college football especially, it looks more and more like Vanderbilt and Tennessee might or will be starting the bulk of their games with freshman quarterbacks. And we're sort of just kicking around. What are the challenges with that? And based on the expectations of each program, who's in better shape?
Well, it's very challenging. It's difficult. Bryce Underwood was number one recruit in the country last year at Michigan and struggled. Their offense struggled. Bear Bachmeier, who was not a heralded recruit, was good at BYU. There really weren't that many true freshmen. I just think it's so difficult to read defenses. The jump from high school to college is we take for granted some of these veteran quarterbacks. A guy like Diego Pavia, who was in his sixth year or fifth year, but you know, in that system for so much, knew exactly what to do, the checks and all that stuff, where really good defensive coordinators can really make life difficult for a true freshman quarterback. And just, you know, you see the term, you know, seeing ghosts and all that stuff. It's just going to be very difficult for Jared Curtis and Brandon Faison, or Faison Brandon, I always get his name wrong, at Tennessee. So, I mean, supporting cast, you know, who's better? We don't know yet. I mean, Vanderbilt had a better team last year. I think that was quarterback driven because Pavia was so good. The one thing about Vanderbilt, it's a new look offensive line too. So if Tennessee does go that route, you know, they'll lean on the running game, I'm sure, just like Vanderbilt would like to. But it's not an enviable position in the short term. But if you've got the right guy, which both schools, five-star quarterbacks, it can obviously pay dividends in the long term. But in this day and age of with fans and college athletics, you know, we all want success immediately. So fans are going to have to be patient with both guys.
We this was another topic earlier that we want your input on. Happened to see Nate Bargatze on his continuing tour to promote his movie, but unique situation today. He brought Jared Curtis with him. I don't know who planned it or if Clark Lee had any input, but Pat McAfee show, pretty big audience. And there's Jared Curtis, a true freshman, hasn't ever played. All kinds of expectations and excitement about him coming. And, of course, the connection to Nate Bargatze is a well-told story. How would you feel about that before he's done much on the field, getting that kind of exposure? Because the exposure to the program is one thing, Mitch, and that's great. But you don't want to put any extra expectations on the player itself.
Yeah, that's a good point. And like, you know, in the past, some of this would never happen. Coaches were control freaks. In this day and age where the guys are making a lot of money and they're being paid by outside sources, and a lot of times some of their media opportunities are from outside sources. And so the school really has no say in it. I don't know what the situation here is now. I do agree that it's kind of putting him in not a difficult spot, but it's a huge audience. What if he says something dumb? Just like we all say dumb stuff, but he's like not that used to being in front of a microphone. But I think the positives in this case far outweigh any potential negatives. And I'm sure Clark Lee would be on board. Again, you can put on that show talking about Vanderbilt football to that audience. It's a win for the program. And you can't pretend that Jared Curtis is just a four-star quarterback or a three-star quarterback from Paducah, Kentucky, and he's just another guy. He's not. And they knew what they were getting when they convinced him to come to Vanderbilt. So you gotta roll with it, I think. You can't say no to that opportunity.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic, talking Vandy sports. Mitch, now we've seen sort of this transition with older rosters. We've seen it more so, and it's been prevalent, and it's been, you know, you saw the fruits of the labor very quickly. Look at Michigan's team. They won a national championship, and look at their roster and their older individuals. So we've seen it, and I think we're used to it possibly on a basketball level. But on a football level, do you think they're going to start prioritizing more? Because we understand before it was, how does your recruiting class look? You know, are you the best recruiting class in the country, but you got a bunch of freshmen that you expect – that some of them may play and some of them may not, but you're basing it on, you know, five-star and four-star. Whereas now you see teams choosing to go the route of transfers, portal guys, and then basing their team based upon that. Now, no longer are they, you know, looking at their recruiting class and saying, okay, this is what we're going to lay our hat on. It seems like it's more so now they're going to the transfer portal, and this is how teams are building, this is how programs are building their team each and every year.
Yeah, I think it's dependent on the program, but clearly teams are trying to get old. And you've seen that with Vanderbilt on both lines of scrimmage. They basically rebuilt their offensive line every year with transfers. Now, it can be dangerous because that's a position that relies on continuity and chemistry, but they've been two for two. Their offensive line 2 years ago, I'd say, was average. Last year, maybe a little slightly above that. So I think ideally as a program, it's a balance. You still want to develop your guys. I think the programs that recruit at a higher level, the Georgias, Alabamas, Ohio States, they're always going to have their program guys who grow up within the program. And by the time they're third year, fourth year guys, you definitely want them starting. Other programs that don't recruit at that level, you're still trying to develop, but you're going to miss out on, you're going to miss. You know, you're not going to hit on every three-star you get. So if you try to develop your recruiting class of three stars and sprinkle in some four stars, and then you figure out, hey, these guys are not good enough for us to compete in the SEC or the Big Ten, you've got to go to the portal. And when you do that, you've got to get older guys to plug those holes. One thing that's interesting, we saw it starting this year, though, is there just aren't the volume of older guys isn't going to be as prevalent because we're past the COVID years. Mm-hmm. We're past the fifth year of playing six-year eligibility guys. You know, Vanderbilt's offensive line the last couple of years had plenty of guys who in a different era would not have been eligible. So teams that have relied on that, they got to be wary because I don't think the pool of SEC, Big Ten, you know, power conference caliber guys is going to be in future years what we've seen in the past couple of years.
Now, if Jarrett Curtis wins the starting job and starts day one, is this team, based upon what Coach Lee has done through the portal as well as obviously recruiting out of high school, are they in position help a young quarterback grow as the season goes on, or is this a situation where he's going to take a lot of lumps this year because this team is not quite like the team of last year?
Well, that's a great point. And like, I would argue that like last year, Pavia was, he not bailed them out. That might be, not be the right term, but he was so much the engine that drove that offense that if you put an average quarterback in that offense, there would probably be a decent offense. But, you know, this is a team that led the nation in yards per play, which to me is like one of the most important stats. It's just so it just tells you how good he was. And another thing, you know, Vanderbilt had one guy drafted. That's just insane from a 10-2 SEC team. Like the Iowa team they played in the bowl game, I think had eight guys drafted. Vanderbilt had none or one, and he didn't even play in the bowl game. So the point is, it's not a program that's like oozing with elite NFL talent. They've done a very good job coaching them up and developing and all that. So I do think they're going to ask Jarrett Curtis to do some things next year. Like he's going to have to make some plays. It's not going to be a strictly game manager. They've got decent running backs. I don't think they've got great running backs. A lot of it obviously is going to depend on the offensive line and how that develops. But I don't think you have a guy like Jarrett Curtis and you just ask him to hand the ball off all day. They're going to ask him to make some plays.
Now, Tyler Tanner, obviously, he still hasn't decided on what he was going to do. There was an article that came out today that sort of ranked guys on should they go back to college or should they pursue their dream of playing in the NBA. And he didn't get favorable marks from those that have been watching him, I guess, in sort of this combine setting, and say that he should. And I don't take it as a bad thing. I just take it as a, hey, you can play, but you're just not ready yet.
Yeah, like I think all signs point to Tyler Tanner coming back to college. Mm-hmm. It's been very quiet from his camp. Like there's no, like I haven't heard any like, oh, you know, he just hasn't announced he's definitely doing this. But I think most of us think he's coming back. And you know, by all accounts, he did not play great in those 5-on-5 scrimmages. There's a couple of things. Like, he's obviously not going to get taller, which is one of his main issue, but he can get quite a bit stronger. You know, he got a lot stronger between his freshman and his sophomore year, and I think that helped him with his shooting, made his legs stronger. But his shooting still wasn't great this year. You know, in SEC games, I think he shot like 32%. I think that can get a lot better. So I think he can improve a lot if he comes back. Now, he might just be dead set on, you know what, I want to play in the NBA. I don't care if I'm a second rounder. This is my dream. Like, that might be the case. We don't know. But I think all rational signs point to him coming back to college. But I guess, you know, we'll find out in the next week.
Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic. And, you know, Mitch, we've had a lot of portal-themed stuff, as we always do. It's become such a big part of college sports. And just from the Vanderbilt prism, we've discussed, you know, if Tyler Tanner comes back, it looks like Mark Byington has done another good job grabbing a few of the guys back. He lost a lot of seniors, but it looks like he's gone out and picked up some other guys that look like they've had a lot of productive games in other places.
Yep.
And also Clark Lee, we discussed his formula. Tim Corbin, I think by his own admission, after they lost the other day to Florida, he had a real thoughtful answer to a question of, you know, tell me where you are in this whole process. Because we know Tim Corbin had a tremendous formula, almost unmatched, of finding great recruits and developing them from high school age up to the time they were draft eligible. And he wants that story to continue. He wants to go to their weddings. He wants to be lifelong friends. And we know that gets jumbled up with all that's happening right now. So why do you think, or tell me what you think the issues are of him trying to figure out. He said, I'm going to figure this bleep out, was the quote that jumped out to me of how to use the portal to your advantage. What do you think's missing there?
I think it's a little bit of a false, like, they do use the portal, and I'm not going to sit here and argue with Tim Corbin. Obviously he knows, but like some people say, oh, Vanderbilt doesn't use the portal. Like, last year, for instance, their two of their three starting pitchers, Connor Fennell and Cody Bowker, were transfers. Sawyer Hawks, their closer, was a transfer. They had a transfer commitment from Joseph Zerua, who was the Big Ten Pitcher of the Year, who from Michigan State, who changed his mind basically after a Michigan State alum came in with a huge NIL package for him. You know, this year, Mike Mancini, Logan Johnston were two transfers. Carter Johnstone was in the opening day lineup. I think they had five or six transfers on their team. Nate Taylor, they thought he was an opening day Sunday starter, started the first five Sundays. You can say that was a poor evaluation because he ended up not having a good year. But it's not like they don't use the portal. They have not signed the top 10, top 15-ish portal guys that you see at LSU, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Maybe that's not wanting to spend the money, whatever, or for whatever reason. Maybe that's what Tim Corbin's talking about, plugging some holes with a no doubt about it portal, you know, ace on a Friday night, which is difficult to do. So I don't, you know, I think that the lineup was good this year. We all know the offensive improvements they made under Jason Esposito. I think from a number standpoint, they're going to have to go to the portal for the pitching staff. I think the freshman core of pitchers were good. And will continue to develop, but they need some more known commodities next year. They can't just rely or hope that some of these freshman guys make the jump. And obviously, you know, no one wants to make excuses, but health was a big factor in the demise of the pitching. So, I mean, we all know Tim Corbin's very emotional. That was after the game, you know, immediately after the game. I think he'll sit back, come back, meet with his staff, and I don't think they're going to panic or anything. They're just going to make some key personnel decisions. There'll be some guys not asked back, and they'll definitely go to the portal to try and fortify a few spots.
Mitch, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend, and stay in the air conditioning so you're not reminded of your freshman year at Vanderbilt.
Thank you very much, and go Big Red.
All right, go Big Red indeed. All right, that's Mitch Light from The Athletic. Joins us to talk some college sports. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans OTAs. Derek is ready to go, and we're going to talk about some of the things that Cam Ward looks like he's up to here. We talked about the weight loss earlier. We'll get back into that, and also just how that is going to play itself out on the field. What are some of the things that we're looking for with that? So stay tuned. The final hour of the show is coming up next here on DVD 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.